talking about breakthrough. Maybe over here. This morning, we're going to be talking about breakthrough, right? How many of you would say, you know, there's some area in my life where I need a breakthrough? I just need something to give. It may be in your marriage, it may be in your finances, maybe in your health or in your job, whatever it is. I want you to know that God has a plan for breakthrough. And there's several of us here today with a person needing a personal breakthrough. But I just want to say to you up front that our nation needs a breakthrough. Our nation needs a breakthrough. God's got a plan for that as well. And the plan is His church. The plan is His church, right? For His church to be His church. And so with all that's going on in our society, I'm just praying that the bride of Christ will step up and do her job. Amen. And so we know there's a breakthrough coming. So if you're not in personal need of a breakthrough, we certainly are as a nation. So pay attention today, and I'll give you the plan. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Begin reading with me in the 8th verse. Here's what it says. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. That doesn't mean to just go find him. It means that they were actually against him. They were after him. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God. Underline that in your Bible. David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baalah-perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters," means like a dam being burst. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. We're talking about breakthrough today, a plan for breakthrough. If you need a breakthrough in your life, the first part, the first step of God's plan is to pray. It's to pray. We need to seek the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. There was an enemy, there was a challenge, there was a need in his life, and the first thing that he did was pray. Now, here's what you need to know about David. David was a seasoned warrior. He had seen many battles. So he knew, he understood war, he understood battle. But the fact is, even though his skill set matched the need, he was equipped to handle the need for the moment, but even with his own skill set, he stopped to pray. He pulled aside. He went into the tent to ask God, "God, what should I do here?" If you need a breakthrough, first thing you need to do is hit your knees. We need to be people of prayer. And listen, we live in a world where there's so many resources at our fingertips. It's so easy to YouTube how to get a breakthrough. 3 steps to a breakthrough. It's so easy to YouTube that. Listen, we don't need to YouTube it. We need to go straight to the source. We need to go straight to God and say, "God, what do I do here?" Even if the challenge, if your skill set matches the challenge, you still need to go to God. David was very well equipped. He had killed Goliath. He had done all these other mighty feats of war. But even then, David went to inquire of God. So the first step, if you're following with us in Kidmo, the first step to a breakthrough is to pray. Be people of prayer. Now, there's power in prayer. There's power in our ability to pray and go before God. But I want to show you something that's been given to us as believers in the New Testament that will amplify, that will magnify the power of prayer. And that is the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day when the Spirit of God was, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. Today is that day. I believe we need a fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit on His church. Amen. So here's what Jesus said. As he was training his disciples, in John 14 and John 16, Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, it's nearing the end of my time here. He knew he was about to be crucified. He would be leaving the planet. And so he's given instructions to his disciples. And in both instances, he said, listen, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm going to leave you a comforter. He said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. Now, again, in the deep South, where we're used to mamas and pawpaws, when we hear the term comforter, we think of being tatted. Come on, where's all the French grandmas and grandpas in the house? Tata. So Jesus wasn't saying, hey, I'm gonna leave you somebody to tata you. I don't know many believers who need tataing. I believe we need more go-go than tata, right? He wasn't saying to him, I'm gonna leave you this gushy spirit that's just gonna tat you. No, the word actually means helper. The word comforter there is the Greek word, I just lost it, I had it right there. Parakletos, that's what it is. Parakletos, and it means helper. And so the job of the Holy Spirit in mine and your life is to help us. Remember in Acts chapter 1:8 when he said, when you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and the Spirit's gonna help you be a witness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It helps us. So one of the things the Holy Spirit helps us in is in our prayer life. Flip over with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, and I want to show you something. We're talking about a plan for breakthrough. The first step of that plan is to pray, but I just want to make a side note here, and I want to give you three ways that the Holy Spirit helps you pray so that you don't have to pray in your own strength. Here's what Romans 8:26 says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Stop right there. The word infirmities means weakness. So the first job of the Holy Spirit, the first way that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life is it helps us pray from a position of strength, not a position of weakness. Listen, if you're in need of a breakthrough, then your prayer life ought to not sound like, oh, Jesus. Oh, help me, Jesus, right? Now, in a time of weakness, that's how I want to pray. But thank God I'm not left to that. Because I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, I can pray from a position of strength where I can come boldly into the presence of God, right? I can stand on his promises. I can stand on his word. I can make declarations. I can speak to my circumstances, right? I can change things through the power of the Holy Spirit in my prayer life as he helps me in my weakness. So the first way the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life is in our weakness. Continue reading with me. In verse 26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The second way that the Holy Spirit helps us is it helps us know what to pray. Have you been in that position where you're like, God, I know I need something, I'm just not sure what, right? I don't even know what to pray. The Holy Spirit's job is to help you know what to pray. In fact, in John 14 and in John 16, Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And what he said about the Spirit of the Truth is the Spirit of Truth is gonna remind you everything that I've taught you. Listen to me. So when I'm praying and I don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit brings a promise to me. It says, wait a minute, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I am weak and not strong. I mean, I'm strong and not weak. I am powerful. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am capable. I have the Word of God. I have the sword of the Spirit. I've got the tools that I need. You see it? So the Holy Spirit helps me to know what to pray. The third way that the Holy Spirit helps us is in verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit will help us pray according to God's will. And what we know is if we pray according to God's will, we're gonna have what we pray for if we're praying according to God's will. So I can pray with power, I can pray with confidence, I can pray with clear understanding that I'm praying the will of God, because my prayer life is not only built on my ability, it's through the empowerment, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. The helper helps my prayer life. So if the first step for a breakthrough is prayer, let's do it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Crickets. Let's do it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people are confused by the Holy Spirit. I know there's lots of doctrinal differences out there with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you what I understand of the Holy Spirit. We see in John chapter 20, after Jesus has resurrected and he's meeting with his disciples, the Bible says that in this John chapter 20, verse 22, says that he breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Have you read that? At that moment, Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." In my opinion, that's the first time salvation happened. That's the first experience of, that's when the disciples became saved. Before then, he had not died, so no one could have been born again. But now in his resurrected form, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." According to Romans 10, 9 and 10, how do we get saved? We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And we believe that God raised him from the dead. My question to you is, do you think the disciples at that moment believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead? They knew it better than me and you because they're looking at him, right? So there's a clear understanding there that they understand who Jesus is. They understood that Jesus was the Messiah. So based on that and him breathing on them, my opinion is that was the first time anyone ever became born again. And they received the Holy Spirit at that moment. Now, what was that? In my opinion, there's part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to be what the Bible calls the seal of our inheritance, the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, it's the stamp that the Holy Spirit is given to us at the moment of salvation that causes us to know, yes, I am a child of God. So are there any children of God in the house right now? Come on, are you a child of God? The Holy Spirit is that thing in you that goes, yes, yes, I'm a child of God. But then we see that these same people who Jesus had breathed on in John chapter 20, he says to them, "Now listen, don't leave town. I need you to stay in Jerusalem because I've got something else for you." Now he had just breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." Check. But he says, "Don't leave town. I got something for you." Now we know that a couple of them tried to leave town and Jesus chased them down. That's the road to Emmaus, right? Study that out. A couple of them had left, and Jesus went and got them and herded them back, brought them back to Jerusalem. Said, I've got a destiny for you. I need you to accomplish something for the kingdom of God, but I need to equip you with something. And so all the disciples, they stayed in Jerusalem, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In that moment, and all of a sudden, they were empowered to be effective ministers, effective carriers of the gospel. So we see the work of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, declaring, yes, I am a child of God. But then we also see a second involvement with the Holy Spirit where they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in that baptizing, it's an equipping, it's an empowering moment for them. So the Holy Spirit helps our prayer life, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? His equipping us to be powerful in our prayer life. I said this in the first service, just a little side note. You know, last week I mentioned the temple and how the curtain of the temple was torn at the moment Jesus breathed his last. The divider between God and his people was torn in the temple. Remember, we said that in that room in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you'll remember that way back when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and the tabernacle was built, that they were led by a fire by night. Remember that? There was a fire. Well, history tells us that that fire originated at the Ark of the Covenant. This tower of fire come, it's the very presence of God coming off the Ark of the Covenant, standing above the tabernacle. And the instruction to the people was follow the fire. Follow the fire. It's God's presence. It's this virtual, this physical, visual proof that the presence of God was there because the fire was coming out, right? Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, what happened to the people who received the Holy Spirit? Tongues of fire on their head. What is the symbolism? The symbolism is that God no longer lives in this building. He lives in this building. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? I am indwelled and filled by the very Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And church, if you're born again, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You are the temple. We don't have to come visit him on Sunday mornings. We don't wait for somebody to unlock a building so we can experience God. No, I live with his presence every day. Hallelujah. So the first step for a breakthrough is prayer, but prayer with the understanding that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's continue to read in verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 14, and we'll find our second step here. Verse 13, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God. Underline that. He inquired again of God. And God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out through all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all of the nations. If step one to a breakthrough is prayer, step two to a breakthrough is obey. Pray and obey. Pray and obey. After this first battle where David and them had had success, the Philistines, another challenge rose up. The Philistines came out again, but David, being the wise man that he is, he went and prayed again. Listen, if you pray and the first time doesn't change anything, pray again. If you pray and you hadn't heard anything yet, pray again, pray again, pray again, pray again. Church, we're going to have to get determined in our prayer life. If you want a breakthrough, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray through this stuff. If we want our nation to change, the church is going to have to pray. We're going to have to be people of prayer. But then after we pray, we have to obey. We have to obey God's plan. Now, I happen to think that most of us read the Bible, we read stories like this, and we read a story involving a man like David, and somehow we dehumanize him. Like he's not a human struggling with the same things that we struggle with. But I'm very well aware of that, and so I always try to imagine me being David. And I pray, and God said, okay, David, here's the plan. You're not going to go out the way you would normally go out. I want you to sneak around back. You know where those mulberry trees are? I need you to go sneak around to the mulberry trees, and you just post up right there. And after a while, you're going to hear the sound of people walking around in the top of the trees. And that's when you'll know, it's time to go. Now, again, we think David's superhuman. Me, if I get that plan, I'm going to go, wait, God, can you say that again? The sound of people walking in mulberry trees? I'm not sure I'm familiar with that sound. Now, why are we laughing at this? Because we know that this is an irrational plan. This just does not make sense. And so when I say to you, hey, we just need to obey God, everybody goes, amen. Until the plan that God gives us is go hang out by the mulberry trees. And when you hear people walking around in the mulberry trees, you'll know I'm in the middle of this thing. Let me tell you something. When you hear from God, the plan's probably not gonna make sense. It's probably not gonna work with your natural mind. So we're all fired up about obedience until we hear some weird plan. Right? But my challenge to you is when you pray and when you hear from God, it doesn't matter how ludicrous it sounds, how ridiculous it sounds. When you get a plan from God, get into obedience mode. Yes, sir, this is what we're doing. I'm going to mulberry trees. People walking in, mulberries, this is all about mulberries. I don't care how crazy it sounds, I'm doing it. And church, if you want a breakthrough in your life, if you're desperate enough to get a breakthrough, it's because you've done what God told you to do. Some of you in here are facing financial challenges. Maybe that's the breakthrough you need. And God's instructions to you, because you're saying, I just don't have enough money. He may say this way, here's the plan I want to give you then. Take what you do have and go give it to somebody else. Oh, whoa, God, you misunderstood. I said I needed more, and your plan for me to get more is to give away what I have? Doesn't make sense. God, I've got trouble in my marriage, and the trouble is named Lori. She's not here, so I can say that. Oh, Lord, fix my marriage. Fix Lori. Oh, God. She needs it. She needs help, Jesus. Fix Lori. Lord will probably say to me, okay, here's how we're going to fix it. You're going to love her. You're going to sacrificially love her. You're going to lay your life down for her. You're going to love her the same way that Christ loved the church. You're going to forgive, and you're not going to hold grudges, and you're going to believe the best, and you're going to hope the best, and you're going to pull the best out of her. That's how God's going to fix Lori. Let's all pray for Lori. No, y'all don't tell her I said that. But you understand what I'm saying? A lot of times the plan that we hear from God's not going to make sense. But church, if you're desperate enough to want a breakthrough, you're going to have to learn obedience even when it doesn't break, when it doesn't make sense. And the beautiful thing is as David followed the instructions of God, the word says that God went before him and smote the enemy. Listen, often obedience will cause God to come in and do something where we think we're about to have to fight this battle, and the whole presence of God rolls in and wins the battle for us, but it's because we prayed, it's because we've got a plan, and it's because we're walking in obedience. If you need a breakthrough in your life, hit your knees. Hit your knees in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray. Pray with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when God gives you a plan, say, yes, sir. Kick it into action. That's God's plan for breakthrough. Would you stand up with me? As we close, I want to do something. I want to do a couple of things. So you're going to be here a minute, so don't nobody leave yet. First thing is, I want us to pray together corporately that for those of us who are in need of a breakthrough, I want to pray that God would begin doing something today. But listen to me, if I can have your attention real quick. The instructions I just gave you are personal instructions. And your victory is going to be won mainly because of the personal instructions. Most of us, we would rather come down here in a corporate setting and have somebody lay hands on us and make all of our problems go away. Can I tell you that's probably not going to happen? The way you're going to get your breakthrough is tomorrow morning on your knees. Tomorrow morning, hearing the plan and walking it out. I just want you to get that determined that I'm going to take personal responsibility to follow this plan. But together, we're corporately right now, in as the body of Christ, loving one another. I just want to pray that God would just use the energy in here to give us a jump start on our breakthrough. Okay, and so I just want to pray for anyone here who needs a breakthrough. But secondly, I want us to pray together for our nation. I want to pray that God would heal our nation. We all know the things that are going on in the world around us, and our country is very much divided, and there's hatred and division and racism and all those things. Can I just say that we firmly denounce those here today, right? That is not God's best. And we don't believe in those divisions and all those things. But we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Even today, I heard that in Lake Charles there's going to be some demonstrations and stuff, and I'm all for that, whatever, but we're just going to pray that the hand of God would be on it, right? Because we're not going to do all the lawlessness and stuff. There's hurting people. There's confused people. I get it. There's frustrated people. I get it. But the answer is not lawlessness, right? And so we just need to find that balance. And I don't have to. Thank God. He can find that balance, right? And he can do what we cannot do. So I just want us to pray for a breakthrough, especially in our community, but even into our nation today. I know we're supposed to be social distancing. I'd love for us all to get in a big huddle and hold hands or whatever, but I don't know how we're going to do that. But if you're close to somebody and you don't mind touching them or whatever, and just a show of unity, I'm not saying you don't have faith if you don't do it, so make yourself comfortable. And can we just pray? Let's just begin by praying for our area, praying for Southwest Louisiana. Lord, we just come here as your body. Lord, I thank you for unity. You are the God of unity and harmony and love. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would begin something even right here, Lord, that would spread into our community and just bring hope and do something in our area. Lord, we rebuke racism in Jesus' name. We rebuke hatred and division. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I pray that the Spirit of God would flood through our community and bring people together when the enemy's trying to bring us apart, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for our law enforcement in this area. Father, if there are any law enforcement officers who need to be exposed and removed, would you bring that? Would you do it your way and bring that out? But then, Lord, for the other men and women there who serve us in our law enforcement, would you give them grace and protect them, Lord God, as they navigate through all this? And we pray for our nation. We declare that we are still one nation under God. And Lord, we declare that you're bringing hope and healing. We're not even looking for a political solution. We're looking for a spiritual solution. Holy Spirit, go do what you do and bring healing to this place, to this nation, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, let's just give the Lord a hand right now and say amen. Come on, this is your agreement. Second thing I want to do is pray for anybody who needs a breakthrough. If you need a breakthrough in your life, doesn't matter what it is, throw your hand up. Come on. I mean, throw it way up there. Let's just... All right. If you're next to somebody who's got their hand up, just and you love them, just reach over there and put your hand on them, and let's just stand in agreement with one another, and let's begin to pray. You ready? Come on, get determined. Get determined. Lord, in Jesus' name, we call for breakthrough. We know, Lord, that you are the God of breakthrough. You can break through any situation, any enemy, any challenge. Everything bows at the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, every lack, every deficiency bows at the name of Jesus. So we declare the name of Jesus over every situation here. Jumpstart our breakthrough today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray for a heart of discipline to be able to bring this to you and to pray, Lord God, like we've never done it before. A heart to pray and to seek your face and in the boldness to follow your plan, even when it doesn't make sense to us. In Jesus' name and preemptively in faith, we give you praise and honor for answered prayers right now in Jesus' name. Let's hear it. Come on. Come on, thank him for the breakthrough. Even if you don't see it yet, thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. I'm going to pray for addictions right now. If anybody is struggling, would you bow your heads? Lord, the spirit of addiction. Spirit of addiction, we break it right now in Jesus' name. We break it right now in Jesus' name. I speak to the addictions to pornography and say, you're broken. Say it with me, church. You're broken. You're broken. You're broken. Substance abuse, and you're broken in Jesus' name. Prescription medicine, addiction to prescription medicine, you're broken in Jesus' name. Come on, if you need it, you better break it right now. Break it in Jesus' name. Spirits of addiction, you got to go. You got to go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. Generational curses of alcoholism, you're broken. You're broken in Jesus' name. Generational curses of poverty, you're broken in Jesus' name. Generational curses of even social dependency, like welfare and stuff, you're broken in Jesus' name. You're broken in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Addictions, you are broken. Spirits of divorce and family dysfunction, you're broken in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I declare that our families are going to be whole and healthy and happy, Lord God. Your blessing on our families, we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.